very, very glad to be sharing this special Easter morning with you. I'm going to start with a couple of readings this morning. The first is, of course, an Easter reading. I'm going to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 20. I'm reading verses 1 and 2, and then continuing on with 11 through 18. And this is from the NRSV updated edition. Hear now these words. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved, and said to them, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Continuing on at verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside of the tomb. And she wept. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying. One at the head and the other at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have been taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" And surprised, and supposing him to be a gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you carry him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and she said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." She told them that he had said these things to her. May we have blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. I'd also like to share a little reading from a work entitled Womanist Midrash by Dr. Wilma C. Gaffney, who is a black woman scholar and Episcopal priest. And in it, she has this to say of Mary. Mary of Magdala is not only the first witness to the resurrection, she's also the first apostle sent to proclaim the good news. That a woman was chosen for this holy work is not a footnote or a surprise. It is the way of the God who so often chooses the disregarded and the disinherited to bear the weight of holy things. Her witness is sacred. Her witness is sacred trust, and it challenges every system that tells women they are unworthy to preach, to lead, and to proclaim life in the face of death. Thank you. As we would hope for on an Easter morning. And I got so excited about it being Easter that I overlooked my excitement of our guest musicians. So, Brian and Will, we are very appreciative of you being here. Thank you very much, and thanks for your contributions already. We look forward to hearing from you as well. My message this morning is entitled Resurrection Hope. So, it is Easter morning. And if you listen closely enough, you can just about hear it. The sound that stone made when it rolled away. Now, I'm not actually talking about the actual sound. After all, I'm not really sure it all happened that way. I'm talking about what the sound represented. The sound of justice cracking open the silence. The sound of empire losing its grip. The sound of love stretching, waking up and saying, not today, Dad. Not today. Our text today is John 20. It's a familiar one, but let's not let it being familiar dull our ears to it. See, Scripture isn't sort of a museum exhibit. It's a living, breathing witness. And today, it's bearing witness to something that refuses to stay buried. There's Mary, heartbroken, exhausted, wounded by the violence of the cross, by the silence of Saturday, by the finality of death. She doesn't show up planning to proclaim a resurrection. She really was planning to anoint a corpse. I mean, let that sink in. The first person to witness the resurrection in the story came looking for a dead body. Because that's what trauma does. It builds walls up in your hope. It makes the unthinkable feel final. It convinces you that violence always wins. And yet, in this story, the empire did what empires do. The religious authorities did what corrupted religions do. The disciples did what frightened humans do. But love refused to stay buried. Mary stands at the tomb, and her pain is interrupted by a question. Why are you weeping? It's the angels first, and it's Jesus himself, who she mistakes for the gardener. Which, on a side note, I have to wonder, might be John's not-so-subtle nod to Eden, a new creation, new dawn for the new gardener. But here is what struck me this time around. And maybe you've never quite noticed it before either. Jesus doesn't say, "Behold, I have conquered death." He doesn't say, "Go tell the world that I'm alive." No, the first thing that Jesus says to her is her name, Mary. Because, you know, the resurrection isn't just a cosmic event. It's personal. It's not about flashy miracles. It's about love showing up, calling us by name, and saying, "I see your name. I haven't forgotten you." Death doesn't get the last word. Not over me and not over you. That, my friends, is what makes resurrection revolutionary. And let's not miss something deeply subversive here. The resurrection, the turning point of the entire Christian story was first entrusted to a woman. And not just any woman. Mary Magdalene. A woman dismissed by patriarchy. A woman so often misrepresented by the church. A woman who never ran, never denied, and never abandoned. While the male disciples fled or locked their doors and disappeared into fear, Mary went to the tomb. She stayed. She wept. She witnessed. That wasn't just happenstance, that was theology. The resurrection is God's mic drop in the face of empire and patriarchy. And the messenger that love chose to carry that news? A woman. In a society where a woman's testimony wasn't even considered legally valid. In that society, Jesus makes Mary the first preacher of the resurrection. Go to my brothers and tell them. She becomes the apostle to the apostles. And y'all, that still preaches today. Because resurrection doesn't reinforce systems of domination. It overturns them. It doesn't ask for permission. It doesn't wait for credentials. It anoints the willing. See, when When we tell the Easter story, we need to tell it right. This is not a miracle story. This is a resistance story. A woman stood at the tomb and saw what the world said was impossible. A woman dared to speak what no one was ready to believe. A woman carried the truth that shook the foundations of death itself, which means, it means every time we silence women's voices in church, we are rolling the stone back in front of the tomb. Every time we deny the leadership, wisdom, and witness of women and gender expansive folks, we are saying, we prefer to hear from Peter, thank you very much. But Jesus did it. Jesus chose Mary. The modern world and the modern church still haven't been able to catch up to that. Back to the cross. You see, the cross was designed to make a statement. It was Rome's way of saying, step out of line and we will end you. It was the religious elite's way of preserving the status quo, of silencing the inconvenient truth-telling of that Nazarene. Crucifixion was state-sanctioned trauma, public theater of control. It was a sermon preached by the empire that said, fear us, we win. But the empty tomb, that's protest. That is a counter sermon. It's love taking the mic back and saying, no, no, no. You don't get to define what's possible. You don't get to write the ending. It's a divine interruption of business as usual. And friends, that's why we need is Easter. Not as a holiday, but as a disruption. See, too often we treat resurrection like it's just a holy reset button. As if God waved a magic wand and everything went back to normal. But let's take a closer look at the story. See, that's not what happened here. Jesus doesn't come back to resume the status quo. He comes back changed, wounded, scarred. He still bears the marks of the crucifixion, and he doesn't erase the violence. He exposes it. He doesn't pretend it didn't happen. He transforms it. Which means resurrection isn't about pretending that everything is fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's about seeing the truth more clearly than ever before and still daring to hope. Still daring to hope. Still daring to love. Still daring to believe that violence and hate and death do not get the last word. In other words, resurrection isn't about denial. It's about defiance. It's not naive optimism. It's radical, stubborn, justice-loving hope. And friends, I don't think I need to tell y'all that's the kind of hope we need right now. Because I don't need a resurrection that lives in stained glass windows and pastel-colored egg baskets. I need a resurrection that shows up in protest marches and courtrooms and voting booths and border crossings. I need a resurrection that meets people in prison cells and hospital beds and refugee camps. I need a resurrection that can look at a broken system, a corrupt institution, a dying earth, and still say, this is not the end. This is not the end. be honest. It's not easy to believe in a resurrection in a world like ours today, where children still are torn from their parents, where the earth is still burning, where black bodies are still treated as threats, where LGBTQ plus kids are still targeted with hateful legislation, where women are still fighting for autonomy over their own bodies. It's exhausting. But some days hope feels like a fairy tale. But Easter says otherwise. Because the resurrection doesn't ask us to ignore the pain. It meets us in the middle of it. Remember, Mary didn't meet Jesus skipping through a field of lilies. She met him weeping at a tomb. She didn't find him with a choir of angels. She found him mistaken for a gardener, which tells me the resurrection story isn't flashy. It's not loud. It's quiet. It's personal. It's persistent. It's love refusing to give up. And when we dare to live like resurrection is real, we become a part of it. Every time we refuse to normalize injustice, every time we choose community over conformity, every time we speak truth to power, even when our voice shakes, that's resurrection hope. You want to know what the real power of resurrection is? It's not just that love came back from the grave. It's that love looked the empire in the face and did not flinch. Love said, do your worst. Crucify me if you must. But I will not stop loving. I will not stop healing. I will not stop calling the outcast by name. And the empire did its worst. And still, love came back. Which means this. If you have been crushed by the weight of injustice, if you have been told that your life doesn't matter, if you've been discarded, silenced, erased, you are exactly who the resurrection is for. Exactly. Not the powerful, not the perfect, but the ones who show up at the tomb anyway. The ones who weep, who wait, who refuse to stop hoping. So, what does it mean to live in resurrection hope? It means showing up with your scars, your doubts, your questions. It means choosing to believe. Believe not that everything will be easy, but that love will keep showing up. It means feeding the hungry even when it seems like there isn't enough. It means advocating for the vulnerable even when it's unpopular. It means believing in transformation even when the stone hasn't moved yet. Because resurrection isn't just something we celebrate. It's something we practice. In our communities, in our politics, and in our relationships. It is a holy rebellion against despair. It's love with its sleeves rolled up. Friends, the stone has been rolled away. Let's not roll it back. Let's live like the resurrection is still happening, because it is. And every act of courage and every song of resistance and every whisper that says death doesn't get the final word, love does. Love does. He is risen. And love, love is still rising. Still.
Classical tenor music. Let me give you an example. I'm like, okay, I will sing for my church. And so this piece, the lyrics are just beautiful. In my imagination, I see a fair world. Everyone there lives in peace and honesty. I dream of people that are always free, like the clouds that fly, full of kindness inside the soul. In my imagination, I see a clear world. Even the night is less dark there. I dream of people that are always free, like the clouds that fly, full of kindness. In my imagination, there's a warm wind that blows over towns, like a friend. I dream of people that are always free, like the clouds that fly, full of kindness inside the soul. This is Nella Fantasia, or however you pronounce it.
After those two performances, I hardly want to stand back up here and say anything. Thank you both. Astounding. Thank you. I'm stumbling on words, and I don't even know what words I'm supposed to be stumbling on. Thank you all both so much. Let's do bow our heads together. You who will not be buried, who will not be silenced, who call us by name when all we can hear is grief. Today we remember. The stone was heavy, but it didn't stand a chance. Because love refuses the grave. Love whispers through weeping, appears where fear thought it had the final say, and places resurrection not in the hands of the powerful, but in the voice of a woman the world tried to forget. May we be encouraged and inspired to roll away the stones that still weigh us down, the ones that look like patriarchy, like empire, like dead theology and stale dogma. May we be gardeners of new creations, practitioners of resurrection, preachers not just with our words, but with our lives. May we trust that trembling hope is still hope, that rising sometimes looks like returning, that justice is a love that keeps showing. Today we do not celebrate perfection, we celebrate persistence. We celebrate love with scars still showing. Love that speaks the name of the forgotten, the dismissed, the afraid, and says, I am not done with you yet. May we be people of that love. Stone rollers, name callers, tomb resistors, hope bearers. Because resurrection isn't over. It's only just begun. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life. And may your words and your actions share that love and happiness with all of those you meet.
Was long, I realized.